I never thought I would have to defend myself to say I'm not a murderer.
My name is Cody Brown. I'm a U.S. citizen from Kennett, Missouri. I am here in Peru currently.
Tell me what happened on March 1st.
At 11 o'clock at night, my friend and I, we decided we were hungry. Walked around the corner and there was this guy just screaming profanities. Little did we know he had actually gotten into a fight right before that. As we crossed the road, he actually ran up behind us and punched me in the back of the head. It made me see stars. My vision went black. I didn't know what happened at first. And then when I came to and I came around, I heard my friend Alejandro being like, ¿Cuál es tu problema, amigo? Basta, cálmate. We were actually like backing up. The dude just kept coming at us and kept trying to swing. So I actually hit him over the head with a plastic bottle and that didn't work. He punched her right in the face, busted her eye open. Unfortunately, that's when he fell. Whenever we saw him on the ground and he wasn't a threat anymore, we turned around and actually ran away. And that's when we went to the police station. We just got assaulted. We just got punched. Little did we know that the dude actually got hurt during the fall. So the next morning, that's when they told us that the dude is in the hospital. They said that he's likely not going to wake up. They said that the charges were going to be intentional homicide.
Isn't there a camera recording of this?
Yep. Even though there's evidence on our side, it's ultimately up to the family and the prosecutor whether or not they want to pursue charges. But I'm trying to wait for a congressman or a U.S. representative to go public with it.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. So I'm actually really excited to bring this episode to you today, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it. This is not somebody that you may have known about unless you're someone who is on TikTok often, but this is a kid who is from Missouri. He went abroad for a year to Peru while he was studying at Missouri State University. His name is Cody Brown. And he came to my attention by a listener of Misunderstood. She sent me his TikTok. TikTok is not something I normally sit there and watch, but I did open it up. I looked at his story and I kind of went down a rabbit hole. He was a kid that didn't know what else to do. And so he took to TikTok to tell his story, to get his side out because he doesn't know what's going to happen to him. He's a kid in his early 20s who is in Peru, who's been living in Peru for almost a year, who has a job there, who's doing a year abroad there. And what happened on March 1st, 2025 has completely changed the course of his life. He has been accused of murdering somebody and is kind of stuck in limbo because he's not sure what's about to happen. The laws are different in Peru and Spanish is not his first language. And he's navigating this all on his own. I had a ton of questions, so I tracked him down. I brought him on the show today from Peru. And, you know, I'm interested to hear your thoughts as a listener about his situation. All you need to know going into this interview is that this happened at the beginning of the month. Him and a girl named Alejandra were walking for dinner at 11 p.m. at night. There was an intoxicated man who ultimately ended up dying. All of the details are on camera. And he was pushed in self-defense while he tried to beat up these two kids. And it wasn't even Cody that pushed this man. So all these questions are answered in my interview. Let me know what you think. Cody, thank you so much for joining me today on Misunderstood from Peru.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
So fill me in. I mean, I think I found you on TikTok. I think a lot of people that are watching or listening maybe know your story because they want to, you know, join us right now to listen to what's going on. But for those of us that don't know your story, I just want to get a little bit of background. Why are you in Peru to begin with? Explain that.
So I originally came on a study abroad trip with my university, Missouri State University, from Springfield. And when I got here, I just kind of found a job at the school that we were studying at. So I was like, oh, yeah, I could stay here, make a change, make a difference, have like a year abroad before I graduate. So the main reasons I'm here is just because I randomly found a job. I wanted to increase my Spanish abilities and make a small little difference here in Cusco.
Nice. What are you studying at school?
Nothing for English teaching. I study biotechnology, biology, microbiology with chemistry and biomedical science. And I have a certificate in Spanish communications.
Oh, wow. Okay. And so, and how old are you?
I'm 24.
Wow. Okay. So you're smart. You're a smart kid. You're not just kicking cans out there. Well, that's pretty impressive. And so far, have you loved being in Peru?
Up until this incident, I really did. I've met people from all around the world, Australia, England, different parts of South America. I was able to make friends with people I never would have been friends with other than in the United States, being in the United States. So yeah, I've really liked it up until March 1st.
And are you from Missouri originally?
Yeah, I'm from Kennett, Missouri. I was born and raised there. I moved to Springfield for college. But other than that, I've never lived outside of Missouri. I went from Missouri to Cusco, Peru.
Wow.
Very drastic.
And explain your family dynamics. Who's in your immediate family back home?
In my immediate family, we have five members, including myself. I have two sisters. They're both younger than I. And my mom and dad.
Got it. And your parents are still together?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay. So now tell me what happened on March 1st.
So on March 1st, it started off as a normal day. Everything was good. But at 11 o'clock at night, my friend and I, she's from Venezuela. She came here to Peru for because of the corruption in Venezuela. We decided we were hungry, which is normal for this time. Usually around 11 p.m., we're like, ow, let's go get some food. We haven't eaten all day. And so we left the house, and there was, I guess, a festival in Cusco going on. I'm not sure. I can't keep track of how many festivals they have here. And a lot of people were drunk. And so we walked around the corner, and there was this guy just screaming profanities in Spanish, cabrón, cabrón, a bunch of other things. And little did we know, he had actually gotten into a fight right before that. So when we came around the corner, he was already in the fighting mood. And so we tried to ignore him as he was screaming profanities at us. But as we crossed the road, he actually ran up behind us and punched me in the back of the head, caught me off guard. I don't know exactly where he punched me, like right here, made me see stars. My vision went black. I didn't know what happened at first. And then when I came to and I came around, I heard my friend Alejandro being like, ¿Cuál es tu problema, amigo? Basta, cálmate. Basically trying to get him to back off. Like, why did you just punch my friend? And as we were trying to get distance from him, we were actually like backing up, crossing the road. There was traffic coming from both ways, and they had to stop in order for us to get away. The dude just kept coming at us and kept trying to swing. So I actually hit him over the head with a plastic bottle out of reflex whenever he almost punched me in the face. And then immediately after that, my friend, who is 19, she's 19 years old, very skinny, very very Venezuelan skinny. so she tried to get him to back up, just kind of like pushing him a little bit. And that didn't work. He punched her right in the face, busted her eye open. And wow. out of just immediate response, within like seconds of him punching her, he did the same thing, punched him back. And unfortunately, that's when he fell. And with him being really drunk, he didn't have reflexes to stop himself. So when he fell, he hit his head on the road. We didn't know that at the time. We just knew that he was out. So whenever we saw him on the ground and he wasn't a threat anymore, we turned around and actually ran away. But that's when we were going to continue getting food, but we were talking, we were like, that was actually a bad situation. We need to go to the police station. So we went home, got our other roommate, and that's when we went to the police station. I would say this was around 11:30, 11:40 at night. And we were there until about 4 a.m., hungry, tired, making a police report because, you know, we had just got assaulted. Overall,
so you were there to report the assault on you and yes. To explain what happened. Okay.
Yes, exactly. We were there. We were like, hey, we just got assaulted. We just got punched. It wasn't too bad, but the dude's probably out there still trying to fight other people. We don't know. And so we thought we were doing the right thing. We really thought we were doing the right thing. Because the other people he was fighting with were also out on the street. So there was a big dangerous situation going on in this area right now. And we wanted to let the cops know.
Sure.
Little did we know that the dude actually got hurt during the fall. So the next morning, my friend Alejandra called me because she had to go back to the police station to do a medical checkup, which is a routine thing they do here whenever you get assaulted for like evidence and things like that. So she calls me and she's like, hey, it's urgent. You need to get to the police station right now. And right when she called me, I'd say this is about 9 a.m. the following morning. Right when she called me, my heart dropped. I got a feeling in my stomach, a gut feeling telling me not to go because something's bad is happening. But me being a good citizen and trusting police, I went to figure out what the heck was going on. You know, my friend needed me as well, so I was going to be there for her. And that's when they told us that the dude is in the hospital. He had the fall. He had a fracture in his skull, and he ended up getting some kind of brain aneurysm, I believe, is what they said. It was in Spanish, so I had to translate. And they said that he's likely not going to wake up, and they are now charging us with intentional. At this point in time, it was like intentional aggravated assault. But because that they knew he wasn't going to wake back up, they said that the charges were going to be intentional homicide.
Tell you that kind of thing, do they put you in cuffs and put you in jail?
See, that's the thing. Right when they told me that, I thought they were going to do that. They didn't. So whenever they told us that, that's when the investigator, the prosecutor, he came into the room and started asking us questions, taking our statements. Little did I know that because our lawyer wasn't there, that was one of the rights we had. We have the right to remain silent. He didn't tell us that. So, but also I didn't have anything to fear because, you know, I didn't commit a crime. So I was like, sure, I'll give you a statement. Let's do this. I had to say it in Spanish, which was hard for me to do. I'm still learning. Been here for almost a year, still learning. And so as I was giving him a statement, things like that, it started getting really intense. And that's when I realized we're in trouble because I would say an hour or two after they told us they were going to charge us with intentional homicide, a good friend of mine was able to find a really good lawyer and bring her in. And we didn't have to pay her up for anything. She just took the case on and was helping us. And we had to go see medical. They did put us in handcuffs one time. So as the investigation was progressing after we finished our statements and things like that, they had to do something. I don't know what the general term was. They said, we need to go to your house and we need to take pictures of all of your property, which was really weird to me. But we went to my house. They put us in handcuffs, paraded us through the town to the house because my house and the police station are really close together. So all these neighbors were seeing me in handcuffs. It was very embarrassing.
Did they do this with the girl as well?
Yes, we were together the entire time during this. Yep.
But I mean, did they look at her house as well as yours?
So we lived together. Yeah.
Oh, you do.
So,
okay. She's one of your roommates. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Which made their job easier, I'm sure. But when we made it to the house, they started taking pictures of all of my property. I was still very confused at this point. Why my cat, she came out of the room and they took a picture of her too. So at that point I was like, what the heck, man, what are y'all doing? And that's when we made it back to the police station after that, I got a little bit more clarification. They said that we had to pay 5,000 soles or they were going to value all of our property up to 5,000 soles and take it pretty much for whatever reason.
What's the equivalent of 5,000 soles in dollars?
Roughly $1,500.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a rough estimate.
Okay.
But yeah, after they took our property or they took our money, I paid. I had my other roommate take my money all the money that I had saved up to the bank and to put into this connection or this bank account. They let us go. So apparently that was like a pay your way to be free during the investigation type thing. but it's very, it was very odd to me. I talked to the embassy about that, and they also at first didn't realize what exactly that was for.
Cody, explain this to me. So at this point up until today, have you ever been, I know you said you've been handcuffed, but have you ever had to spend a night in jail yet?
No, not at all. I mean, I was a rebellious teen and in high school. I got in trouble with the police every now and then, but it was for skipping class. Other than that, I've never been in trouble with the law ever.
Okay. But even in Peru, they haven't really officially arrested you, correct?
Yeah. In Peru as well. No. Whenever I paid the 5,000 soles, they told me it was to close the case out, like restitution to the family, and we're going to close the case out. Immediately after I paid the 5,000, that's when they told us, hey, we're going to actually charging you with intentional homicide.
Well, if they haven't arrested you yet, don't you think that you're not officially charged with that yet?
Exactly. That's what I would think too. But unfortunately, no. I had to go see the judge 2 weeks ago. I believe it was 2 weeks ago. We went and seen a judge, still free up until this point. I was only in handcuffs. I've never spent a single day in jail here, a night. However, it's possible. The judge said that it would be better for my release because it doesn't seem as though, this is the crazy part. He told me that it doesn't seem as though my actions actually caused the death of this person. However, because here in Peru, it's not up to the judge. Whether or not to charge someone, it's up to the prosecutors and the lawyers on the other side. So because the family's pushing for it, the prosecutor's pushing for it, they really just kept pushing the intentional charges on me. Although I've been doing a lot of reading into the penal code here in Peru, and it seems as though that's like too far. That's like, there's like a crime and punishment. They need to equal out to one another. And since my actions aren't the cause of the man's death, the intentional homicide charges are excessive. So why they're still pushing for intentional homicide charges, I do not know.
But when you say they're pushing for it, if you haven't actually been arrested, they haven't officially charged you, right?
So I honestly, the way they're doing things here, it's really unorganized. We have officially been charged. My lawyer's trying now to get it pushed down to negligence, I think, which still doesn't make sense to me because I acted in self-defense. So we have been formally charged.
Isn't there a camera recording of this? Don't you have witnesses? There is.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Which is another thing. They're ignoring the evidence and still pushing for the charges, the intentional homicide charges. Why? I don't know. I've been trying to do a lot of research on how they can still do that because it seems mind-boggling. If this was in the United States, the charges would have already been dropped. But here, the prosecutors do not need a lot to charge you. They just need pressure pretty much because I'm in this country currently. I can't say the word I want to say, but let's say because of the unjust practices that they do in the judicial system here, they have more rights than they should when it comes to charging people with little evidence.
Hold on. Let's hang on there for 1 second because I have so many questions and I know I don't understand and a lot of people don't understand the laws in Peru. However, it seems like I'm wondering if they're just saying this stuff to scare you at this point. I mean, they can charge you with whatever they want, but someone has to decide that you get punished a certain way. And I would think that that has to be a court or a judge or whatever. So, and you aren't in jail yet. So they can't have officially charged you unless you're kind of like the equivalent of out on bail and they don't think you're a flight risk, which I would think you're a flight risk because you're not even from there. You know, you're an American citizen. So a lot of it isn't matching up. How come? Do you have to get a lawyer there or can you get a lawyer in America?
So, yes, I can get a lawyer in the United States. However, I don't really know how that works. I haven't really looked into it. I've been more or less talking to the embassy about lawyers that they recommend or they have on their website, I should say. And so that way it keeps it local because I don't have a lot of money. They even said that I can get one from Lima, but I would have to pay for their travel. So I chose a lawyer here in Peru. or Peru, here in Cusco, rather than Lima or outside in the United States. But it is very possible for me to get a lawyer from the United States.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month med plus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
You guys know I care about aging well, not just how we look, but how we feel. And if you're over 30 and starting to feel like something's off, low energy, brain fog, stubborn weight, sleep issues, or your sex drive isn't what it used to be, it might not be just life. It might be your hormones. That's where Renew Youth comes in. They are the experts in helping men and women rebalance hormones through safe, medically supervised treatments, all from the comfort of your own home. This isn't about turning back time. It's about showing up for your life with full energy, confidence, and vitality. Whether it's testosterone therapy, estrogen and progesterone support, thyroid balance, or even peptides for weight loss, Renew Youth has cutting-edge options, and they're tailored just for you. I've talked to their doctors. I've seen their results. This is legit, and it's life-changing. Go to renewyouth.com/misunderstood. So go to renewyouth.com/misunderstood. That's spelled M-I-S-S, understood. And for a limited time, my listeners can save 50% off on your initial lab testing. That's amazing. Again, use the code MISUNDERSTOOD and tell them I sent you. Get ready to feel like yourself again.
Right. Okay. So, and I think I've seen you've addressed on your TikTok before, people have asked, why don't you just get on a plane and come home and deal with it from America as opposed to there? Because, by the way, once they do come in your house, cuff you, put you in jail, you have very little chance of getting your case out there, you know? Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on that?
So that's been in the back of my mind, especially as we progress. I asked the embassy, you know, because they told me I'm not considered a flight risk right now, which is another reason why I'm out. And I think the 5,000 soles was kind of like the promissory note, the promise that I'm not going to leave. So I've been trying to cooperate the best I can so they don't do that. But yeah, it's a very confusing situation for the people listening on my TikTok, even for me. However, the embassy told me that, you know, if I leave, I won't be here to defend myself. And because the prosecutors need little to no evidence to actually charge me with a crime, as they're doing right now, even though I'm innocent 100%, if I leave, they could use that as a sign of guilt, as me trying to get away from punishment that I may be getting, et cetera, and ultimately issue me an arrest warrant, an international arrest warrant, and a red note through Interpol. And then I'm just basically screwed altogether. So right now,
let me ask you a couple questions. Who has that evidence? Who has that videotape?
So my lawyer should have it. I requested it from her, but she only sent me the last 5 seconds of the video, and it's a 5-minute video. So I think she has it on her computer. The prosecutors definitely have it. The judge has it. I believe the embassy also has it now as well. So there's a good group of people who have it.
Okay. So I think in my opinion, like if I was your sister or your friend, I would tell you, make sure that you also have a copy of that so that it's in your possession. I don't know who I don't know that you know these lawyers. I know the language isn't like your first language. So I think you got to protect yourself by having that. Are they charging the girl with the same offense that they're charging you with, or is it just you?
So right now we both have the exact same charges. I actually was talking to the embassy on Friday about this. And that's how I kind of knew they had the video. They said they watched it. And they said that it seems as though right now we are both being charged with intentional homicide, but I'm now having to find a new lawyer for myself because it looks like moving forward, they're going to separate the charges. Because like I said, there's not enough evidence on me, but for some reason there is on her, even though we did the exact same thing during the fight.
Who was the one that punched him, that threw him on the ground?
That would be her. And I believe that's why they want to separate the charges, because they're trying to take this with a grain of salt. This isn't on paper yet. I believe that they're moving towards separating the charges to me being an accomplice to murder and her being the actual culpable murderer.
Is she freaking out?
I can tell on the inside she is. She's trying to take it real calm, like, oh no, my lawyer has this, we're going to be okay. And I'm like, girl, no, I'm actually freaking out more than her.
The only reason to freak out is because you want to move on and you want to have a life and you don't have to worry about this. You want to eventually come home and not worry that all of a sudden somebody's going to, you know, send you back to Peru to serve a sentence, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So are you still working in your job there? Are you still in school there?
I'm still in school. Unfortunately, I'm a little bit behind. I had to email all of my professors. So they gave me a deadline. They extended everything, which is great. So I've been trying to catch up on everything. As far as work goes, I am still working, but my hours have been drastically cut. Cause I can't say where I work. Unfortunately, they don't want to be involved in this. So they kind of pulled me back from teaching my students. I have one student left. Now I'm just working behind the scenes in the marketing department with my friends/coworkers, making videos for the school, trying to get people to buy packages with the professors that can teach. I went from, I think, roughly 115 hours a month, which is about 1,200 soles, to only 38 hours this month, which is only going to be roughly 550 soles.
Listen, for me as someone that's listening to your story, it's upsetting to me for you because you're a young kid who has your whole future ahead of you. Doesn't sound like you have a lot of people behind you that are like saying, wait a minute, stop. This is not how things work. It has nothing to do with your intelligence level, but you're like out of sorts because you're in a completely different country. You don't have your parents there. You don't have a lawyer there. You don't have a lot of money. And it doesn't sound like anyone's either taking this seriously or is like, you know, really stepping in for you and saying, all right, enough is enough. This is not how this works, or he didn't do this. Let's clear this up. And if anything, I would think a lawyer eventually would say, you know, you have a case against the police department because they're ruining your reputation in Peru. I mean, whether or not you give a shit about your reputation there, but you know, if they're, you know, affecting your hours at work, if, you know, you have to live in fear that you're going to, you know, be arrested, that your reputation for any job in the future, if you chose to live there, they're parading you around with handcuffs on in your community. I mean, all those things are, I don't know if that's justified. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, but I think I'm pretty smart. So I would think that those things are not okay. And if I were someone on your legal team or a friend or family, I would say, get your ass home and let an American lawyer get on the phone and handle this themselves and find a lawyer that is willing to do it pro bono or willing to do. And there are so many lawyers that are willing to do things like this pro bono to learn, you know, and to get better at things. But your safety should be at home. Now, I don't know if you feel like you have a big safety net at home living in Missouri with, you know, I don't know if you live at home or you live in a dorm or whatever, but that's what I would suggest. But, you know, so what are the next steps? Like, you live in fear on a daily basis, they're going to come and arrest you, or where are we at every day?
So right now, I just, again, on Thursday or Friday of last week, I got a paper from my lawyer that says we're going into the second preliminary stage of the investigation. That's how I kind of found out we were starting to get charges separated after I called my embassy about it. And they said that we're going to have to be in the police station for 4 more days at least for more interrogations, which is probably going to take all day from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
And do you trust your lawyer that they're representing you in those cases when you show up at the police station and the people are inquiring about things? Does your lawyer speak English and can, you know, really speak for you and tell you when not to speak?
So she doesn't speak English. However, I am I can speak sufficient Spanish to be able to like talk with her. So whenever she's like she tells me something, I can understand it and I do it.
So Cody, where are we at with, you started to talk about your lawyer and what you guys are going to be doing, another 4 days in court or in the police department. And then is that coming up soon?
It was supposed to be last week. But for whatever reason, they prolonged it to now this week. So it is coming up. It is very soon. But the thing here is they have what's called delayed justice here in Peru, which means that they just try to prolong the investigation for as long as possible or the trial for as long as possible to exhaust money from the person they're pursuing. And I think that's what we are getting in this moment, because we've been waiting for 3 weeks to talk to the prosecutor's office again about this. But it, to my knowledge, what they told me, it is coming up soon.
It shouldn't be costing you more money. The only way you should be getting charged is if you have to pay your lawyer for things. So yeah. I'm hoping for you that it moves swiftly enough, but not too swiftly that you don't have the extra evidence that you will get if you wait a little bit longer, or you'll see that they'll charge the girl before they'll charge you or whatever it is. I mean, listen, as a person that doesn't know the situation, looking from the outside in, I would say wrap up your time in Peru as soon as you can and finish your education back home, get your degree. And, you know, this could be a blip in your past, but a very interesting past where, hey, I was almost charged. I was charged with murder when I was in my 20s, and it was a terrible situation. And I've lived to tell the story because it was a complete, you know, it wasn't accurate and I was portrayed in a certain way. And you kind of learn from it and use it to catapult you and to be more of an interesting story. Do you know what I mean? But I hope for you that, you know, people will be looking out for you, that you will be okay. But my suggestion would be to come finish your senior year back in your university, and get to a position where you're cleared, you're safe, but maybe get out of that country.
I'm definitely trying to do that. I'm trying to coordinate with my parents and the embassy about like, when is the smart time to leave? Which a lot of people would be like, right now, man, right now, just like you're doing, which I 100% feel that in my gut. Like, I could get on a plane right now or cross the border, a land border somewhere, and just get out of this country. But I'm trying to wait for like a congressman or a U.S. representative, which my mom has been talking to go public with it, to give me confirmation that they're not going to send me back to Peru if they issue an arrest warrant. Because they have a deal, the U.S. and Peru have a deal to send any person being charged with a criminal act with a warrant back to Peru or vice versa. So, that's what really scares me is that deal. If there wasn't that deal on the table between the two countries, I'd be in the U.S. right now.
Think about it. You're you're in that country and you have been officially charged, but you're not in jail. If you go home and you're officially charged, it's one and the same. I mean, they might send you back, but I think a lawyer would get involved and try and finish this before you have to get sent back there. The fear is that you stay there, you get arrested, and then you really don't have an opportunity to call an American lawyer to have people see your case. You might just get lost in the system. And I think that that's a terrible idea to continue to stay there and just hope for the best and keep thinking you're doing the right thing, because at the end of the day, you know, doing the right thing has not gotten you very far, you know? So
yeah, that's very true.
That's what I would be worried about for you. So in my opinion, and who the hell am I would just say, get on a plane and go into, you know, there's gotta be, you know, an ambassador to Peru. I mean, I know the ambassador to Malta. I'm sure we could find the ambassador for Peru and figure out a way to have this figured out. You know what I mean? Cause I worry for your safety as an American. All right. So what's next for you? By the way, when you're cleared of all this, what do you want to do with your life?
So one, get the heck out of Peru, graduate with my biotechnology degree. I want to work at St. Jude's Research Hospital because my sister, she was and still is a patient there, but she doesn't have cancer anymore. They saved her life. So I'm kind of, that's why I went into biotechnology. I'm dedicating myself to future cancer research so other kids and other families don't have to go through what we did when she was diagnosed with stage 4 Wilms cancer. After this, I plan on kind of getting involved in injustices around the world pretty much, because now that I'm living through it, I just kind of want to help other people with that as well. Like, just even if it's just me on TikTok being like, hey, this person is being wrongfully tried in this country. Let's get some people known. Let's get their story known and out there. That kind of thing.
Right. Okay. I love that for you. You said your St. Jude's cured your sister?
They did. Yes. When she was first diagnosed at the regular hospital, they didn't give her a very good prognosis. But they immediately sent her to St. Jude's in Memphis, Tennessee. And that's when her prognosis went from not so good to she's absolutely going to survive. We have the medicine. We have the capabilities to help her, to heal her. So they saved her life. And honestly, it saved all of my family's lives too. We wouldn't be a family without my little sister.
Oh, Cody, that's really sweet. Well, listen, I wish you the best of luck. I cannot wait to hear, you know, how this progresses. Anything else that you want to say for people to understand your story and what you're going through?
Yes, a little bit, I guess. So even I don't fully understand the process that's happening here. I'm working with the embassy, lawyers, people who've also gone through similar things as I have, but they're locals, to find the best way to get home safely. I really want to come home. I'm hoping that it'll be soon. But other than that, I'm trying to put as much as I can out there for everyone to know without jeopardizing my case. However, I will say, there's been a lot of unjust practices that I've noticed in my case. For instance, the prosecutor, changing a couple of words that I said in the statement, and me having to explain that again next to my lawyer so we could get it sorted out right. There's a lot of foreign bias here against foreigners in the judicial system. They see us as scapegoats and easy targets. And even though there's evidence on our side, like full-on evidence, video, witnesses, judicial statements, things like that, it's ultimately up to the family and the prosecutor whether or not they want to pursue charges, which is what we're fighting right now. And it seems as though the family is paying quite a bit of money to keep us fighting this, because that's what really makes the judicial system here work, is money. So if I had $20,000, I could be done and over with this case, because I would be the person with more money. But unfortunately, the family has more money than I. So we're having to continue and fight.
I see.
Yeah. So just keep.
So you're saying it's like the money that their family's paying to the police department, saying keep this open, find a way to charge these people, so that my son, husband, whatever, his life wasn't in vain, even though it was his fault. I mean, I get what you're saying. I guess also I'd be very careful on your TikTok how much negative stuff you're saying on the country of. In general, just because they might try and use that against you. But again, to go back to what you're saying for your lawyer, I would think it's a very easy case for her to make that, again, I know you're fluent, but this language is not your first language. Mm-hmm. And so to take, you know, a word or a tone out of context should not be held against you because you don't speak the language fully. And exactly. I would play that up. I wouldn't act like you fully get it. And, you know, you have a lawyer who doesn't even speak English. My words to you would be, listen, we found you on TikTok. We thought your story was interesting. I thought there was something to it. People love all this true crime stuff, right? And I think it's an interesting story to see a kid who's essentially by yourself in a country trying to navigate this. And I don't think that's right. And I think that you deserve to have some help or someone stand by you, you know? So I do wish you the best of luck. I hope that in some way, shape, or form, this will all pan out for you quickly, justly, easily. Because it could take a toll on your mental health too. I mean, at the end of the day, are you scared? Are you okay?
Yeah, I am scared, but I'm also, I'm getting into that American mentality where I'm like, oh, I'm loud. I'm proud. I know I didn't do anything. And I'm going to fight to make sure y'all know that, mentally it did take a toll on me. I mean, I never thought I would have to defend myself to say I'm not a murderer. But other than that, yeah, we're good. I'm an American. I'm strong. I'm going to get home to my family through hell or high water. That's for sure. So, yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And just remember, you're being charged with murder. You don't have to be strong for everybody and even for yourself. You know, it's okay to feel like you can't handle this all on your own and you need some help, you know? And maybe that's some advice too for your TikToks going forward. Like, I know you're expressing your story and stuff, but you know, it's okay to be vulnerable. Maybe that would actually be good too, you know?
Yeah.
So, but if you need something, George is going to give you my number. I'm here. Okay.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.